I'll be okay. That fixed. Okay. Children can go. After all I've done wrong, I must have done something right. You ever feel that way? Well, Judy's sitting there and she's telling me, Terry Williamson is a blessed man. And she looks at me and she says, Turk Garzone is a blessed man. She looks at me and she says, you're a blessed man. I am a blessed man. Oh, me. Okay, let me see if I can get going here. Page what? Page something. This has not been a... You know, when a component goes bad in a marriage or anything, it kind of messes everything else up. You know, in an automobile or and when a component goofs up on Sunday, it seems like everything kind of goofs up. I goofed up the communion time. We were supposed to have communion when I received the offering, and so it kind of threw a tailspin into things, but we're back on track now, okay? And got the woof out, and the devil's gone, and we're here, and we're ready to go. Let's get started with it. We're doing our series on building a home or a hell. Today's message is, can you do anything with my child? I should call it, after all I've done wrong, I must have done something right. But can you do anything with my child? I want to just dive in because I've got a lot I want to cover. I'm going to overwhelm us with scripture. I'm going to overkill, but I think that the point will be made when you walk out of here. You'll see the primary concern in the scriptures concerning our children and knowledge that we have to make this component functional in our lives and in our home. So I want you to stand with me. We're going to read Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. That's our foundation scripture. And then we're going to read Proverbs 22, 6. And then we'll pray and we'll go to work. So stand with me, please. And let's read aloud, as loud as you will. And we'll read and pray. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. And then in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray. Father, help us. Lord, I have a multitude of information, and I have a heart here to want to share this, and I need you to help me. I want to say what you once said, nothing more, nothing less. I want to touch lives, and I want to help somebody. So Lord, I ask for an anointing. I ask you, Lord, as I go forth to sow the seed, that, Lord, it falls on prepared soil, soil that has prepared itself to receive the Word of God, that we can be productive. Lord, I pray for an anointed ear for the listener, an anointed mouth for the speaker. And that, Lord, we can accomplish what you're sending this word to do today. We ask it in Jesus' name. You agree with that? Say amen. Be seated. Okay. Hosea 4 speaks about parents and children. And it says that there's a lack of knowledge. And this lack of knowledge hurts us. Have you ever heard the statement said that what you don't know won't hurt you? That's a lie. That's a lie. What you don't know can destroy you. So the Bible says that we have a problem, and the problem is the lack of knowledge. And it's not the devil's people that are destroyed because of this lack of knowledge. It's God's people. The knowledge is available for us. We have it. We can grab it. We can get a hold of this knowledge. And so it's accessible for the believer. But what we do is we ignore it. And so because we ignore God's word, then he ends up ignoring us because we're in rebellion. We're not doing what he said to do. So he's just going to let us go off and work our own works and destroy our own selves. And then this funnels down into our children. And so we're at least see a couple of generations here touched by somebody not getting the information or the knowledge that they need. Raising children is extremely important to God. It's extremely important to God. And that's what this passage in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 is talking about. And we've been talking every week about a major component of the home. And this week we're going to be talking about the children. Children are a major component in a home. How many of you know that your children can cause you big problems in your home? Your children can really mess up your home and cause a lot of problems going on. And so what we're after here is trying to look at some things that will help that component do what that component needs to do to make the home more functional. And we can have a home and not a hell. So this is what we're after. This is the thing that we're after. So what is a major warning that the Scriptures gives to us? What is the major warning that the Bible tells us that we can do with this component that will help our homes be a home and not a hell? There is a major warning. In fact, there's a massive amount of information that is given to us in one particular area. And I'm going to hit that, and I'm going to hit it pretty hard here in just a second. But I want to look again at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 and read that one more time. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, a couple of questions. What is the it that the child will not depart from? What's we're talking about here? What is the training? What does training mean? How do we train them? What do we use to train them? What does this verse mean? Everybody tells you, train up a child in the way he should go when he's old, not part. Well, okay, that's wonderful, but how do I do that? What does that mean? How does this work? And so what we're after today is looking at this particular aspect of it and trying to get a handle on what does this verse really try to say to us. Well, as I do when I study things, I look at it in context. I look at it in Hebrew and Greek meanings. I look at it in other places in the Scripture and try to get a flow with it. Well, this word that's translated train here in Proverbs is translated three more times. It's used four times totally in the Scriptures, and three times it's used in Deuteronomy, it's used in 1 Kings, and it's used in 2 Chronicles. And I want to show you how it's translated there. And in Deuteronomy 20 and 5, it says, what man is there that hath built a house and hath not dedicated it? The word is dedicated. The same word translated train in Proverbs is here translated dedicated. Then looking at 1 Kings 8:63, it says, so the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. There again, it's not train, it's dedicated. And then in 2 Chronicles 7:5, so the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. In every other place that this same word is translated, it's translated dedicated. So what we see when we're talking about training up a child in the way they should go, what we're really trying to say here is get them dedicated to the way they should go. If we can get them dedicated to the way they should go, whatever it is that they shouldn't depart from when they get old, they won't. So the main thing, the first thing that we want to see is we need to get them dedicated. And so the way we train them is to get them dedicated to the way they should go. Now, what are some things they need to be dedicated to? Now, this is interesting. I mean, they need to be dedicated to family, right? Shouldn't your children be dedicated to the family? Sure, for the well-being of the family. Should be dedicated to the Lord. Should be dedicated to the church. They should be dedicated to the selection of proper and good friends. They should be dedicated to studying and learning and education and doing well in life. All of these things are important and a part of the primary thing. But there is one thing that the Bible repeats over and over and over that they must be dedicated to and they must be trained to do. And that is listen to the parents. Listen to the parents. The main thing, the primary admonition that the Scriptures give to us about training up our children, getting our children dedicated to the things that they should be dedicated to, is listening to the parents. And over and over and over and over, in fact, I'm going to overkill you in just a minute, seeing how important this is to the Scriptures. Now, the reason I do this, the reason I overkill, and the reason I overdo what I need to do sometimes is to make certain that we get the point, but secondly of all, make certain that we see the seriousness of the Scriptures here. And so, over and over and over. So I'm going to run us through some. I'm going to try to run, okay? I'm going to try not to hang. I'm going to try to go. In Proverbs 1:8, it says, my son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. What are they admonished to do? Hear. And over and over we're going to see this hearing and listening and get my words and that kind of a thing. But both parents are involved here. Both parents are involved. Now I'm going to make some statements here in a little while about this, but I want us to see that both parents are necessary here in this getting them dedicated. Both parents are necessary in this training in the way that the child should go. Both parents are necessary. All right, then in Proverbs 2:1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. And then the writer goes on and he begins talking about the good things that will happen to the person. And what this verse talks about is that they will have grace or a garland upon their head. There will be a crown. And it was speaking of the Olympic Games kind of a thing, when they would get this garland, this victor's crown. And that's the thought, is that they'll have a crown on their head and they'll have a chain, a gold chain about their neck, which speaks of prosperity. If you can get your child to listen to you, their life will go much better. They'll be victorious in life. If you can get your child to listen to you, then they will be prosperous and their life will go well with them. And so what he's saying here is, the main thing you got to do is get my words. You got to receive my words. And then in Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Proverbs 4:1. Hear ye, my children. Hear ye, my children, that the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. Please see that it's more than just sitting there looking at me, hearing me talk. It's attending to what the father has to say. Now all of this is so important. Proverbs 4:10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. How many know that rebellion has a way of shortening your life? The prisons are full of rebellious people. Their life, whether they just died or whether they just locked out of life, has been shortened. Their days of enjoyment and having fun were shortened because they haven't listened to authority. They have rebelled against what they should hear. They didn't listen to their parents. Rebellion has a way. There can be excess, drugs, and those kinds of things that can shorten a life. You can hook up with the wrong people by not listening to parents, and bad things can happen in that dimension as well. But a great life can be shortened because of not listening to parents. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Proverbs 5:1, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to me. The word there means to stretch your ear, to give me your ear. It's like a bow and arrow. You're bending it. You want that ear. The parent wants the ear of that child. Proverbs 5:7. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Have you ever said that to your kid? You better listen to me. You better hear me. You better do it now. Have you ever tried to say that to your kid? Well, what are you trying to do? You're wanting them to hear you. And over and over and over, there's a reason that you get like this. And there's a reason that you say this over and over and over, because you're wanting that child to hear you. It is massively important. Where were we at? 5:7? Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep my father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Again, we see that the parents are involved here. You ever say that? You better do what I said do. You better do it now. Proverbs 7:1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. And we're going to jump a little bit now. We're going to try to get more than one at a time. We're going to try to hit some. I just really want to. I know I'm overkilling it. I mean to. It's intentional. Proverbs 7:24, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Proverbs 8:32, now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Proverbs 8:33, hear instructions and be wise and refuse it not. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. We'll jump some more. Proverbs 15:31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Proverbs 15:32, he that refuseth instructions despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instructions, and thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Proverbs 19:27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction and that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Not only do we need them to hear us tell them what to do, they need to hear us tell them what not to do. They need to be able to hear us say, stop doing something, and still hear us. And this works in all sorts of ways. Proverbs 22:17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Proverbs 23:19, hear thou, my son, and be wise and guide thine heart in the way. And then Proverbs 23:22, we'll stop with this one. Hearken unto thy father and begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Both parents again here involved in this training. Now, we're talking about training the child. Training up the child, getting the child dedicated. Both parents are necessary here. Now, I'm going to say some things about both parents and doing discipline. I'm going to say some stuff here in just a few minutes. But the point right here is that in the training of the child, both parents are necessary to get the good balance, to get the good training of the child and dedicated to the way that they should go. Training a child, let me say this, training a child is getting them dedicated to hearing you. Did we see that? Have I showed you that the book of Proverbs has over and over and over and over and over and over said, hear me, listen to me, hearken to me, get my words, give me your ear, over and over and over. And as I was looking at that this week, I saw something. I saw it's apparent, the book of Proverbs, it's kind of a revelation to me. The book of Proverbs is a book about parenting. The book of Proverbs is a parent trying to tell their children how to have a blessed life. The book of Proverbs is a dad writing to his son saying, give me your ear. Let me get this in you. The book of Proverbs is a mom saying, listen, here's, you got to obey my law. Here's what you got to do. The book of Proverbs is a book for us to utilize, because in every aspect of the book of Proverbs, it's dealing with everything that you'll ever want to tell your children. Everything that you would want to say to your children is included in the book of Proverbs. For example, it talks about the selection of friends. It talks about immorality. It talks about substance abuse. It talks about marriage. It talks about money. It talks about sex. It talks about selecting a mate. It talks about avoiding a prostitute. It talks about excess in all areas. And anything else you can think of that you would want to tell your children, the book of Proverbs is trying, this guy is trying to tell his kid. And so what we see then is the book of Proverbs is a parenting book. It's a book on how to raise your children. And it says over and over and over and over again, hear me, listen to me, give me your ear. The primary thing that you can do for your kid, the primary way I can help you to train your child up is to get across to you the importance of getting that child to listen to you. How many of you would believe and agree with me, had you listened better to your parents when you were growing up, you could have avoided a lot of problems and heartaches and failures and hurts and wounds that you didn't avoid because you tried to do it your way? I did. I mean, I was much that way. I wanted to do it my way, and by not listening to my parents, I went through a lot of things. I ended up okay, but I could have ended up better. Are you with me? Let me get a showing of hands. How many of you agree with that, that had you listened to your parents better, things would have gone a little bit better in your life? Okay, that's just about all of us. That's good. That's good. Now, here is a good place to say some things that I want to say. You know, and I know you would say, okay, I got it. I see that the Bible over and over and over again tells me that I need to get that child to listen to me. And I believe you agree with that. But how do we do it? And right here I want to interject some thoughts. It's a good place to do this. You see, every home operates differently. Your home is going to operate different than mine. My home is going to operate different from yours. So I am not telling you how to run your home and trying to tell you how to raise your children, because every child is different. Every child needs a different approach, I believe. And I believe that's going to be up to you. So my intent is to tell you what the Scriptures say. That's my intention, is to make you aware of some things that the Scriptures say. See, successful homes will all have a camaraderie, but every home is not going to be a carbon copy. Your home is not going to be a carbon copy of mine, and my home is not going to be a carbon copy of yours. No home is going to be ran identical. All we want to do is try to make us aware of some things that the Scriptures talk about. So my intent is to teach you what the Scriptures say. And you wouldn't settle for anything less, right? You expect that from me. You don't expect me to sugarcoat. You don't expect me to give it to you in a little bit here and a little bit there, or blend it with contemporary Christianity. You want me to tell you what the Bible says, and that's my intention. So, don't get mad at me. Don't hate me. I'm for you. Just say, bless his heart, he did the best he could. Say that back to me. Bless your heart. You're doing the best you can. Okay, there we go. Now, we can approach this from two ways. We can approach it from the contemporary perspective or we can approach from the biblical, and you know which way I'm going. But just to give you the contemporary perspective of this, of raising children, is basically becoming their friend. It's approaching it from being a peer or an equal or a colleague. I'm not saying that won't work. That might work well for you. That's not how I did it. I've never seen it work well. That's not saying it doesn't work well and it won't work, but it is saying that it didn't work for me. Now, the contemporary thing is because you're their friend, they'll do what you ask them to do. It didn't work for me. They're my friends now, but they're 30 years old and plus. They're my friends now. But they weren't my friends when I was raising them, when I was bringing them up. When I was bringing them up, they were my children, and I was their parent. And there were things that, see, you can't discipline your colleague, or you can't spank. You can't spank your friend. And there are going to be times when you got to be a parent. And I think that's what the Scriptures teach us, is we've got to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We've got to love them, spend time with them, and do these things. But at the same time, there is a rod that the Bible talks about. And so I just wanted to say that, I've never seen that approach of friendship really work out the way that it should be. So the remainder of our lesson is looking at it from what I see in the Scriptures and what I see again over and over and over and over again being projected. So I want to talk about the rod. Say the rod. The rod. The rod. Now, let's look back at Proverbs 22:6 one more time and do a little work here before we take off on the rod. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." We've seen that it's getting them dedicated. Get the child dedicated to the way he should go. We've seen that. But now looking at that word train in the Hebrew, doing a check on that, the word there means to narrow and to discipline. We saw where it was also translated as dedicating a house, getting something dedicated. Now, if we dedicate a house, if we dedicate my house to the Lord, we're not just going to dedicate the house. We're going to dedicate the boundaries. We're going to dedicate this is my line on this side, and this is my line on this side, and I have lines, I have boundaries all around it. When they dedicated the temple of God, there was boundaries. They put a wall up, a fence up all around the temple. Now, in my particular home, on one side I have the Womack and Young line. On the other side I have the McCary and Young line. Behind me there is an alley that gives me a line, and in the front there's Sunrise Street that is a boundary on my home, on my house, and if I want to go with those boundaries. Now your boundaries are different. Those are not your boundaries. Those are my boundaries. First the natural and then the spiritual. Your home are going to have different boundaries. And it's your job to dedicate and get your boundaries established like it was my job to get my boundaries established. We don't have the same boundaries. And in fact, to even complicate this more, okay, within my home, there's different boundaries. I did not raise Lance the way I raised Bonnie. Each child had their own boundaries. I got them dedicated and trained up with their boundaries, using discipline to establish those boundaries with each one. For example, and I'm not saying this is what you do. In fact, I'm telling you not to do what I did. You do what you've got to do. For example, with Bonnie could not date at all until she was 16 years old. Lance never had any boundaries like that. Now, why did we do that? Well, they were different. Both children were different. Bonnie needed more boundaries than Lance needed. We weren't fair. Say that back to me. You weren't fair. Say that. You weren't fair. No, we weren't. We were parents. And I will bet you that because Angie and Angela were twins, they had different boundaries. Do you hear what I'm trying to say? In your home, you are responsible to establish the boundaries. You're not going to have the same boundaries that I have. Your home is in a different location. Your children are different from mine. But it is your job as a parent to discipline and establish those boundaries with each child. You're not going to be fair. You're going to be parents. Now, using the rod, you've got to understand this, because the rod is used to establish the boundaries. That's the purpose of the rod. Okay. Another word I want to look at here is the word child. Train up the child. How old is a child? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up the child. Here's the word for you. It means from the age of infancy to adolescence. See, Lance is no longer a child. He is my son. Bonnie is no longer a child. She's my daughter. Well, when did this stop? When did this happen? When did they stop being children? After the age of adolescence. What happens after the age of adolescence? They can reproduce. The man, the boy, is no longer a boy. He becomes a young man because he has seed. The girl is no longer a child. She's a young woman because she can reproduce. She can receive the seed. She can become pregnant. They are no longer children. And so what we have here is, when we're talking about training up the child in the way they should go, this has to be done between the age of infancy and adolescence. After that time, if you know anything about parenting, things become much more complicated and much more different after that. After that age, man, you've got to find another way, because the rod ain't going to hardly work anymore. There's a story I want to relate to you that happened right here in our town. There was a man, and his daughter was now 16 years old. At that time, she was 16, and he spanked her. Well, the mother and the daughter left the man. What was the problem here? See, it's not smart to spank a woman. You have some serious problems. So this training that we're talking about here is basically aimed at the children from infancy to adolescence. After that time, you've got to come up with another way of establishing the boundaries. You've got to come up with some other kinds of discipline. Things change. It's just not smart to go around spanking a man. Especially like Josh Robinson and Kevin. I mean, let's be real here. The guy's twice as big as his dad. I mean, you know, you got to come up with something different here. So what we're talking about here, we're talking about getting the children dedicated, getting them disciplined, training them. We're talking about children from the time of infancy to the time of adolescence. Let's put a time, let's put an age on it, just to have a numbers here. From age day one, it should begin around it's age day one until age 13 or something in that area. When puberty ends and adulthood begins. And you know what happens in your body when that happened to you, and you know what happens to your children. They have these crazy thoughts. The body's doing crazy things to them. They don't want to play with toys anymore. Boys want to start playing with girls. And you need, if you haven't established some things, it's not going to be good. And vice versa. Okay. But we'll talk about the rod a little bit. And I think I got it kind of set up here, so we have that kind of an age pinpointed here. But the rod is for training, or for the discipline to establish the boundaries. I want to start looking at some scriptures. And again, we're overkilling, and I've got to fly, but I just want you to see this. So why the rod? Let's see, why does the Bible talk about the rod? And let's see how much the Bible does talk about the rod. And by the way, these aren't all of them. These are the ones that I'm going to try to get covered. Proverbs 10:13 says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Who's the rod for? The one that is void of understanding. And then I did like I did last week. I've got the NIV and the NRS for you, the New International and the New Revised Standard Versions. Just reading the NRS. Proverbs 10:13 says, on the lips of one who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of one who lacks sense. Now, there you go. It's to drive out, a better way of saying it, is to drive out foolishness. Terry said this to beat some sense into him. No, it's to drive out foolishness. It's to cleanse the spirit, which we'll see in just a minute. So for the child, this rod thing is to get some understanding into them, to get the foolishness out, to get understanding in. Now, my wife says this. She says that hands are for blessing and loving. A rod is for the discipline. Now, we didn't use a stick. We didn't use a metal rod. We used a belt. Now, there's a couple of things. I just want to get a couple of points across. Because in the scriptures, most of the time when hands are used, it's used for blessing. And the rod, there's something here that's bringing that, inflicting this discomfort that's not directly hooked to you. There is this rod idea. We had the belt. Our kids got the belt. And so the belt. Now, doesn't mean that every once in a while they didn't get a little whop, but they mostly got the belt. And so they associated the belt or the rod with discipline and not the hand. See, the hand was for loving and holding and blessing and this. And another thing I want to say while I'm right here on this point is never discipline your children when you're mad. The rod is not to vent your anger. The rod is not because they embarrassed you or because they did something stupid. That's not why you use the rod. The rod is to get them to listen to you. And if you're doing it only when you get mad, then that's the wrong time, and you really need to adjust that. I have relatives, and the way they raise their children is the only time they disciplined them or spanked them or used the rod, the only time they did this was when they were so angry that they couldn't hold it anymore. And they would allow all of this anger to build up inside of them, and then suddenly it would erupt. And then they would just wear them out. I mean, they would just beat them to a pulp. And it was horrible. And the kids, you know what the kids learned? They didn't learn the lesson. They didn't learn understanding. I mean, their lives are proof of that. What they learned was, I can go this far, but when I start seeing them really get mad, I've got to stop. That's what they learned by that form of discipline. And their lives today are lives of destruction. They visit the prison systems regularly. You see, if we don't do a good job, sometimes what ends up with us happening, if we can't get this across to them, we've got to do like God, we've got to ignore them. And the prison systems or the judicial systems will take over and try to help us. And so what we want to do is from the age of infancy to adolescence, get that child trained to listen. And these people, my relatives, their fruits of their lives are examples, prime examples of this. They never learned what their discipline was given for them to do, except to not get mom and dad too mad. That's what they learned. And their lives are destructions today. Look at Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. You heard that one? But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, do you know what betimes means? Betimes means painstakingly. A couple of thoughts. Sometimes it really will hurt you, parent, more than it will hurt your child. It really will. And I know you can't convince them of that, but it really will. Because you don't want to do it. You don't desire to do it. You don't even want to take time to do it. You're tired of them crying and whining, and you just don't want to hear anymore to start with. And so there's times, you know, but painstakingly. And I like the way the other versions say it. And let's again read the NRS here. It says, those who spare the rod hate their children, but those who love them are diligent. Are what? Diligent to discipline them. Now, the rod becomes a part of family life. It's not abnormal. If the rod in the home is an abnormal thing, something's wrong. And it's distributed equally as far as everybody gets it. The rod becomes a part of the home. And it's done betimes. It's done painstakingly. It's done diligently. Now, my wife and I, we were diligent with the rod. In fact, sometimes if she had told them not to do something and I had told them not to do something and they didn't do what either of us told, they got it two times. They would get it B times. They would get it from her diligently and get it from me diligently because we were on a mission. And our mission was to get them to hear us, to get them to listen to us. Now, why do I keep hitting this and why do I think this is so important? Because when they grow up, they'll not depart from listening to authority, they'll not depart from listening to God. And that's the whole mission. The mission is to get them to hear the parent, and when they're old, they won't depart from hearing the parent. They won't depart from hearing the father. That's the mission. And we train them up, they won't depart from that if we've done it correctly. They'll not only listen to you, parent, they'll listen to their teachers at school, they'll listen to their boss at work, they'll listen to their people who have authority and influence into their lives. They won't be rebellious. You're not out to, just because they made you mad or they embarrassed you, you're not out just to whoop them because they did something wrong. You're whipping them because they didn't listen to you. The mission is get them to hear you so they can hear Him. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. It's woven, it's worked into their lives. And I can say that for my kids. Both of my kids hear God. They pray, they give, they serve, they minister. They hear God. I'm still dad. They still hear me. They still hear mom. They hear any authority in their lives. But the mission is to get them so that when they're old, they'll not depart from that. So, now we were smart in how we did it. We learned wisdom. This is one of those things that we had to learn. We didn't do it in public places. We didn't betimes them in public places. We were smart like that. We would say, when we get home, you're going to get it. And they knew. And sometimes they didn't have to say anything. Sometimes they just raised that eyebrow. And that just said it all. Oh, God. And they knew. And it wasn't because they embarrassed us or because they made us mad or angry or even because they did something foolish. The reason they always got a spanking was because they didn't hear us. They didn't do what we said to do. Now, we didn't do it either in front of the grandparents. I had to learn that one. I was smart about not doing it in public, but I had to learn not to do it in front of the grandparents. The biggest quarrel my dad and I ever got into was when I spanked Lance in front of him. And then Judy's daddy literally went a couple of years not speaking to me because I spanked Lance. I learned. Grandparents don't like that. And I kind of understand it now. It does. It bothers you when you see that thing that you love so much and it's just so much fun. And all of a sudden he gets a blister and, you know, it does something to you. So be wise about this thing. And I'm going to talk about this just a little bit more. But I remember one time that one of the kids had done something wrong. I don't believe it was Bonnie. I'm not real sure, but I think it was. Most likely it was. But anyway. and I had to give them when you get home thing. You know, when you get home, we'll take care of it. And initially I forgot. I got home, went out, was cutting grass a couple hours later. But see, we were so diligent with this. A couple of hours later, I said, cut the lawnmower off. Said, I got to go beat the kid. So, and we went in and we took care of business. But they knew it was a diligent thing and we were diligent with it. And so this is what the scriptures say. Let's go. Okay. Got to be diligent. And then in Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Let's drop down to the NRS one more time. Discipline your children while there is hope. Do not set your heart on their destruction. Now notice that there's a link between disciplining and their destruction. Proper discipline should get that destruction away from them. But it also says, I like the King James, it says, let not your soul spare for his crying. You know, I don't know how many times they got spankings, especially between the ages of infancy to the time they were about 6 years old. That's where most of our disciplining took place. After that, there wasn't a lot needed. After that, they were trained to hear us and trained to listen to us. But I asked them a couple of years ago how many they remembered. And I mean, they got bunches, but how many they remembered? And each one of them only remembered two. Now, they know they got more than that. But two stuck with them. They remembered two, but they got 200 apiece. They got a bunch. And you know, we did it regularly. We did it diligently. It was a part of our home. We were training them. We had a mission. We had a goal. But I'm telling you, don't spare for their crying because they're not going to remember it. If you get it in this age now, you get a grown man or a young man or a young woman, yeah, they're going to remember that one. But if you get it in this age here that we're told here, this training up this child age in, they'll remember very, very few of those times of disciplining them. Don't spare for their crying. And sometimes you'll be tired and you won't want to hear the crying. You won't want to hear the whining. You won't want to hear it. You just won't want to. You're tired. You've heard it enough. I don't want to hear any more crying. But be diligent. Don't spare for their crying. Be diligent. You're on a mission. And I've had people come up to me and say, oh, Pastor, I feel like I beat the kid to death. You know, I got, what am I supposed to do? Don't spare for his crying. Because if you'll just continue right now, if you'll continue right now, a time is coming when you won't have to. And neither will the judicial system. Okay. And finally, he'll be able to hear God, or she'll be able to hear God, and their lives will be blessed, and they'll be victorious, and they'll be prosperous. Okay, here we go. So I've had all of those things. All those things happen. Proverbs 20:11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. NIV says, even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. And NRS says, even children make themselves known by their acts, by whether that they do, whether what they do is pure and right. Now, how many of you can tell pretty quickly if a child... Well, let me say it this way. When we say that is a well-disciplined child, or that is a well-behaved child, what are we really saying? What are we really saying?
Parents have done a good job.
That child has gotten the proper amount of the rod. That child has been diligently disciplined. And not only do I know that the child has been, because the child is known by his actions, not only do I know if the child has been diligently disciplined, I'll know which parent does it, or which one doesn't do it, or if anyone does it, because the child is known by his actions. If mama says to stop and he stops, or she stops, and daddy says stop and nothing happens, I know who's got the rod in that house. Vice versa. Or if both say stop and nothing stops, or if both say stop and it stops, then you know. But a child is known by his doings. And it doesn't take us long, does it? So how do they respond? How do your children respond to authority? How do they respond to you? How do they respond to teachers? How do they respond to any authority over them? We're just looking at this because you know a child by what? By his doing. By his doing. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. Now my mother was the person with the rod in my home. Daddy never spanked me. Never. Not one time in my life did my daddy ever spank me. Not once. But now mama would blister my betimes. She would get me. She did some bruising on this old boy. And I'm telling you, I knew who to fool with and who not to fool with. And when daddy would tell me something, okay. And if mama says it, I was right on it. And now my mother's mother, her name was Grandma Wallace. She was a tiny little woman. And I'm telling you, this woman, I guess that's where mama got it from. But anyway, when Grandma Wallace spoke, I mean, buddy, everybody listened. And we were visiting. This was before she passed away. And Judy and I, we were married, so I was close to 20 years old. And the whole family, mom, dad, and Judy and I, we were at Pensacola, Florida, visiting my grandmother. And it was time to leave, so we had packed up the luggage, and we had set it out there in the living room. And Daddy spoke to me, and he says, Delbert Ray, take that on out to the car and load it up. I said, okay, I'll get it in just a second. My little grandma jumped up out of that chair, and she said, you take that right now, and I mean right now. Yes, ma'am. And it wasn't but just a few minutes. That car was loaded. Another story. We were married, and I wanted a color television. We were living in a house trailer. We were already overextended. Didn't have enough money to pay our bills as it was. And so anyhow, here we are. We are in the, and I wanted this color television. So I went, and I was only 19 or 20 years old, and I wasn't 21 yet. And so they wanted a signature. They wanted my dad or an adult to come and sign the papers for me to get my color television set. So I called Daddy, and I said, Daddy, I need you to come sign for this color television. He said, I'm not coming to sign for it. He said, you can't pay for what you got now, son. He said, well, how are you going to pay for anything else? Daddy, I want it. Come on. I'm not going to sign. And he didn't sign. But they let me have it. Let me have it because I was married. So they worked some angles there. And you see, what happened is a couple of weeks later, when I couldn't pay for it, telephone started ringing saying, we're going to come repossess your color television set. And I was so upset with the people. But you know what? It wasn't. Daddy was right. He just didn't beat out of me that foolishness. I didn't listen to him. You hear what I'm trying to say? There is this element. There's this time. Daddy loved me. I love my daddy. Most of you know him, remember him. But daddy never spanked me. And so it becomes important of understanding how all this fits together and works together. So the Bible says that you know a child even by their doings. So you can tell what's going on in a child's life. Let's get some more. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. What's it after? What's it after? What's the rod after? The foolishness. Not because you're mad, or not because you're angry, or because they embarrassed you, or they did something that wasn't smart. If you never told them not to do that, and you spank them, you're wrong. You got to tell them, and then spank them. That's what you're after. You're after them hearing what you've said to them. And in the Proverbs 22:15 in the NRS says, folly is bound up in the heart of a boy, but the rod of discipline drives it far away. The rod is there to drive the foolishness and the folly away. And this is going on to the next one, Proverbs 20:30. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes in the inward part of the belly. Now the belly here is the spirit. The belly here is the innermost being. Then reading the NRS, Proverbs 20:30 says, blows that wound cleanse away evil. Beatings may clean the innermost part. Yeah. The rod is a cleansing agent. The children are getting up and walking out here. The rod, I'm trying to add a little humor here. The rod is a cleansing agent. That's what it's for. Like 409 is another one. it's a cleansing agent. It's like 409. It's like whatever that you would cleanse. You ever heard someone say, and I heard it recently, that I washed his mouth out with soap. Well, that's kind of the principle here, but though I don't know how good the soap does. I don't know what good the soap does, if it does any, but I do know that the rod works. And the rod cleanses the enema. It drives out that foolishness. It gets that filth out of there. It's a cleansing agent. And I got to be careful here, because sometimes there will be bluing or bruising. And I got to be careful here, okay? There will be times when you will cause blueness when you do it properly. It'll break your heart. It should. If it doesn't, you got a problem. It'll break your heart. I bruised mine a couple of times, and every time it broke my heart. It was not something I took pride in. It's something that broke my heart. But I knew I was on a mission, and I knew that had to take place, because the blueness drives out that unclean thing and cleanses that innermost part. When you bruise your child, it does. It should bother you. But God's given us a specific place. You remember, right? And I had a big one. Still have a pretty good one. And I guess I needed it. And there's no main arteries in there. There's no primary organs, and so we have a place on the backside that's made for bruising. And what that place helps is the innermost part. It drives out that foolishness. But you know what? As much as I did, and I did bruise him, you know, I didn't kill him. I didn't kill him. Look at Proverbs 23:13. Behold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Look at the NRS. Do not withhold discipline from your children. If you beat them with a rod, they will not die. Now, how many of us ever got a good disciplining? You got a good time where maybe there was some bluing. Would you raise your hand if you ever got one in your whole life? Sure, we did. Did it kill you? Did it do you probably some good? Did it drive some foolishness out of there? Sure it did, because that's the intention of it. But again, you got to use wisdom. You may have to be careful who changes the diaper for a couple of days. You may need to stay at home and keep the kid out of school for a couple of days. Or you may need to let somebody keep them that will understand. So you got to be smart, but you got to be diligent. And you can't let that stop you. Come on. You can't let that stop you from doing your job. Because you're on a mission, and your mission is to get them so they can hear God, listen to you, And when they're old, they won't depart from it. And they'll have a blessed life and a prosperous life and a very, very good life. I'm just about done. I'll tell you what. I'm going to jump here. Okay. Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child. All right, have I done that one? Okay. Well, good. Okay. I got to do this one. I want to show you the word for beat or beatist in the King James. And we use the word spanking. We're talking the same thing, okay? We use spanking. It sounds a lot better. But it's the same. It's the same thing. The word means to strike lightly or severely. To strike lightly or severely. How many of you know there's sometimes you can get by with a light rotting or light beat times? But there are times when it needs to be more severe. How many times have they done what you told them not to do? If it's more than once or twice, then there needs to be a more severe rotting. So all of this comes to the equation. So when you do it properly, sometimes a little pop will get the job done. Sometimes a raised eyebrow will get the job done. Sometimes, though, it's going to take a more severe bluing. And that's what a parent is for. And again, you don't do it when you're angry. Never discipline your children when you're angry. It's just not the right time to do it. Okay. 23:14. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. That's pretty self-explanatory. And it might not be hell and with fire and brimstone and gnashing of teeth then after they passed away, but they will avoid a lot of hell now. You with me? Okay. I've got to finish up. I got to get this one, though, in Proverbs 23:24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother, again the parents, be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Now, kids, listen. Kids, people listen to me. Young people, children, make your parents proud of you. Make your parents be glad about you. Make your parents happy. I made my parents happy about me. It's important. It's important to them that you do well and that you make them proud of you. Do what they say do. Learn to listen to them. I promise you, your life will be so much better. Am I right, parents?
Right.
See, whatever it is that you're all upset about and wanting so badly today, in a couple of days or maybe a couple of weeks, but it's going to be gone. It's not going to be important to you anymore. But those parents are going to be there forever. And you have caused some problems that with your parents that may be hard to get over. Just listen to them. Learn to listen to your parents. I'm going to Proverbs 26:3. And hit this one, and I'm going to try to wind this up in a couple of minutes. But it says there in Proverbs 26:3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Now, the fool's back there is the fanny. It's that part on the backside. And you can read the other ones. They all kind of say the same thing. But what these are tools for training. Tools of training. What you train a horse with is a whip. And what you train a donkey with is a bridle. And what you train a fool with, what you train a foolish child with, a child that won't listen with, is the rod. These are training tools. That's what the rod is for, training. So why the rod? What is the rod for? The rod is to train the child to listen. The rod is to get foolishness out of them. The rod is to cleanse their innermost being. The rod is an act of love. If you love your child, you'll do this for them because you're going to spare them so much discomfort down the road. It will bring blueness, but it won't kill them. In fact, it will cause the child to avoid hell and destruction. Now, the rod, but not only the rod. The rod, this is so important. If all you do is beat your kid, if all they recognize you for is the disciplinarian, if all you do is beat your kid and holler at your kid and yell at your kid, all you're doing is provoking that child to wrath. You're just making this kid angry. And you're not doing anything. You're not going to accomplish your mission. They're just going to be afraid of you and not hear God still. They're still not going to listen to you. They're just going to be afraid of you. Now, looking at this quickly, in Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. Do what? Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And other versions say train and instruct or discipline and instruct them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So what we're talking about here, number one, is they've got to have nurture. You do use the rod, but not only the rod. There has to be love. There has to be this love that comes across. There has to be time spent with that child. You have to find time, make time, develop time somehow. Spend time where you can nurture that child, where you can give that child instructions, where you can just spend some one-on-one time with that child, where that child can be trained up, can receive from you something other than yelling and rotting and beating. And you, all you're doing then is making a rebellious kid, because they're not going to do what you ask them to. They're still not hearing you. They're just afraid of you. And my relatives prove that fact. So you got to nurture that admonition. I want to read this quote from Barna Research. Lance and John and Angela went to a youth retreat, a youth thing up in Chicago, and this was one of the quotes that was said there, and I just wanted to use it. It's from Barna Research in 1997 through 1999. Says Christian fathers spend an average of 4.5 minutes a day with their children. Folks, that ain't gonna get it. They ain't gonna get it. And if in that 4.5 minutes you're rotting them or yelling at them or screaming at them, and you're not doing anything to nurture them and admonition them, you're still not going to accomplish your goal. You're still going to have rebellious children. You got to nurture them and admonition them. And then the last thing, the last point that we're making, the second thing that you got to do, the rod, but not only the rod, you got to have nurture, but also, listen, folks, they got to have an example. It says, bring them up in. Is that what it says? Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In other words, this is what their environment consists of. This is what they see you doing. This is what they see the parents doing. They should see the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Well, let's talk about some things that are of the Lord. They should see you praying. They should see you giving. They should see you worshiping. They should see you talking good about people. They should see you ministering to people. They should see you loving. They should see you loving one another. They should see good things. Because whatever that you bring them up in that environment is going to drastically affect them from then on. It's to bring them up in the nurture. You got to bring them up. This is the environment that is set for them. But let's make this as practical as we possibly can. Of course they need to see you going to church. Yeah, of course they need to see you giving. They need to see you ministering. They need to see these things because this is the environment that they're going to be raised in. It's going to work into them. But the main thing and the final thing, let's make this as practical as I can. They need to see you pay your bills on time. Excuse me. Let's make it real. They need to see you go to work every day. They need to see you loving one another. They need to see that you're submitted to authority. If you're coming home bad-mouthing that boss, that's in them. Let me tell you a story. This was B.C. What do I mean when I say B.C.?
Before Christ.
Before Christ in Delbert. This was B.C. B.C. Okay, I will make sure I say this. B.C. I had a car pull up on my carport. It was probably ours. I had the engine tore apart, and I was in there, and it wasn't working right. I was so mad. I was hot. I was greasy. I was upset. I was cussing. I was just raising all kinds of cane. I was saying all kinds of profanities. I was terrible. I mean, I was just letting it go. And here's Lance out there riding a little tricycle around, just riding around. I'm out there blowing out all this junk out of me, just saying all this profanity. Well, a couple of days later, Judy's in the house, and she's hearing all this little voice out there saying all of these nasty words, you know. And she walks over there, and she looks at it, and here's Lance out there beating on his tricycle, cussing it, just using all those words and profanity. And if you have those magazines in your house, look under the mattress. Look in their hiding places. Because the environment that we establish for them, the nurture and the admonition that we bring them up in, is going to so drastically set the tone for their lives. Train them to hear you. Bring them up in a nurture and admonition, loving and caring, spending time with them in an environment where they can live a happy, a prosperous, and a great life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, these things have been good. I just wished I could touch more. Wished I could say more. Wished that time was more. Lord, I do know that you've ministered to hearts, and through this series, you've touched some lives. You've done some things for us. You've caused us to think. And I ask you to continue. I pray we go out of here with a better understanding of home, a better understanding of what it is that we're training our children to do, a better understanding of the goal of the rod and why we needed this.